Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, and thank you for joining us today. Today, the topic of our podcast is the death of Bob Crane. It's an unsolved mystery. Bob Crane, of course, best known as an actor, best known for his role in the hit TV series Hogan's Heroes back in the late 1960s and early 1970s. He was murdered back in June of 1978, and that case remains unsolved. So we're going to talk about Bob Crane and his demise. But before we do, let me introduce our panel. I'm joined, as always, by the very lovely and talented Queen of Mean, the mistress of the macabre, the most feminine person on this podcast. That would be...
That's accurate.
Yeah,
that is accurate.
Thank you. Well, you know, sometimes the colonel...
sometimes he gives me a run for my money.
And he wears a pink shirts.
He's comfortable.
Yeah. And that is, of course... Pill Poppin', Penis Lovin', Satan's Dirty Little Secret, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I am good, Timmy. How are you today?
I am well. How was your weekend?
My weekend was all right. Got to see some family and, you know, gossip about other members of our family that weren't there, so that was awesome.
That's good. You know, that was quite, it was quite a stir on our Facebook page, the History Dweebs, the podcast page. If you're not a member of that group, please join us.
But there's a lot. It's free.
It's free. History Dweebs, the podcast. Most Facebook pages are free, Colonel. But you know, the people were trying to guess your middle name, and you revealed that, of course, in our last podcast. And your middle name is
Vinay.
And there was a lot of guesses, and we did have one person get it right. Right,
we did.
All right,
we
That's
did.
Awesome,
That's very exciting.
Who got it right?
I want to give a shout out to. I want to give a shout out to my Aunt Beverly for staying strong.
Oh, does she listen to a podcast?
She does sometimes. I think she knows enough. She knows enough to tell my dad that he doesn't need to listen, and she also knows enough to say, you know, sometimes they're a little vulgar. So I assume she listens.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I assume she's listened at least once.
Yeah, if this is your first time joining us, and you really don't like vulgarity, is that a word?
Not the thing for
if
you.
If you don't like vulgarity, loosen your ass up and go somewhere else. All right?
Our podcast is explicit, so we're probably, you know, not the podcast for you.
We talk about lesbianism a lot, but that's because...
It was Diane Trowbridge.
Yes, Diane got the... Diane got it correct.
She did.
Thank you, Diane.
42 years, nobody's gotten it right.
But Diane did. Yes.
And it has a little accent on it.
Nobody I know. Even though you're not Hispanic, you shouldn't be allowed to use that.
You know, the Hispanics are not the only ones that use the accents.
Well,
the French.
Well, are you French?
I don't know. Could be.
Well, Renee has an accent above her name. But
like Renee. She's a nice lady.
What the
But she's
fuck?
Got it.
No, I don't mind Renee. I mean, Renee is a Renee has a lot, brings a lot of strength. She has a lot of strengths, and she's a good person. But I mean, if you're going to, so that's one little black mark against her. But I'm willing to overlook that. Whereas you,
are you giver? Are you?
Yeah, well, let's admit you've got some demerit. You've had some demerits in your life.
I've had a few demerits in my life, which has nothing to do with my
and Renee. Accent. Renee is saintly, so we're going to give Renee a pass. Is
saintly,
but she spells hers like a man. R-E-N-E with that little hyphen thing over the top of it.
Well, maybe it's she's maybe she is self-identified.
It's
she
an might accent, be. You dick. It's not a hyphen.
Accent. Yeah, that's what it is. Accent. Little marky thing.
A little marky thing. Yeah. So, but that's but it's all what the hell.
But Renee gets a pass. You were named after your grandmother.
I was named after my
and
grandmother.
She perished. Her death was untimely. She was murdered. Right.
She was.
Terrible thing. I wish we knew more information about it so we could do a podcast on it.
Yeah. Well,
we should look it up.
Yeah. Actually, you don't have much details on it, do you?
No, actually, one of our listeners, Charlie.
It was never solved.
Mm-mm. Charlie just sent me a thing saying that she'd found an article about it.
Really?
Like one article. And so awesome. She was going to send it to me, so I appreciate
Charlie,
that.
Charlie is awesome at research.
Charlie's like a detective.
Yeah, she really is.
Maybe she should write our scripts.
Charlie.
Hey, listen.
Charlie would do a good job,
but she's very busy with her own podcast. But there's nothing wrong with our scripts. It's the people who read them.
If you enjoy the English language.
Yeah. Nobody's going to mistake you with Bill Shakespeare anytime soon.
But. Well, as long as they don't think it's just like copy and paste from Wiki, I'm fine.
No, it's not that.
No, it's not that.
You got to admit. But I do research, real research.
You research your shit pretty well.
Thank you, Colonel.
It's just your thoughts tend to get a little scrambled when you're putting it to paper.
Well, they meander.
His thoughts meander.
Yeah, they do wander a little bit.
Okay. So, Brandy, I'm glad you're here.
Are you?
I am.
Because it doesn't appear so.
No.
Do you think so, Chuck? Are you getting the distinct?
Are we going to make the announcement?
Nobody's
now?
Really happy yet.
The announcement.
Yeah, about later this month.
Sure, make it.
Well, you're going to be gone.
Oh, I am going to be gone, yes.
You're going to be gone for a few weeks.
Uh-huh.
We're going to try to do as many podcasts as we can before you leave.
Yes.
But time being what it is, it's difficult to do sometimes.
Yes.
So there may be a few podcasts without you.
So sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to do as many as we can.
But this is something that could be avoided, so be patient with us. So it's me and this guy.
This guy.
Are you going to introduce me so I can talk?
Well, I'm just going to say, it's not going to be as good. There'll be a few weeks when we won't have the quality
programming.
Well, we won't have your... I mean, part of the show that makes, I think, works is having the interaction between you and this guy. And we're not going to have that, so...
When did I become a pronoun?
I'm being nice to her while she's here. Oh, okay, she doesn't listen to our podcast. We'll do the high-level stuff.
Yeah, we'll do the highbrow stuff.
Oh, yeah, you guys are very highbrow.
We can do some intellectual things.
That's what you're known as, intellectual highbrow kind of guys.
So let me introduce you.
I hope... Go ahead and introduce me, and I'll speak properly.
Okay, let me introduce a man who really needs no introduction, but... we're giving one anyway. He is the most dangerous man in podcasting today, the very honorable Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm wonderful today, Timmy. I had a good weekend. I got some shin splints. My wife took me out, made me walk a bunch of hills and stuff.
Did she walk you this weekend? You got to walk in. Good.
And I just do want to say...
How many steps did you get?
I think I was like at 15,000.
Not
so
as many as you, marathon not, man.
Yeah, I don't know what you got going on. It's like you're homeless and shit, just wandering the streets.
I walked a marathon over the weekend.
You're a fucking Forrest Gump when he takes off.
I really thought, I was thinking that, except he ran.
Whatever.
But yeah, I was thinking that. I thought, you know,
if Forrest Gump
just keep
did
walking.
It, you can do it.
You know one time,
yeah,
Timmy,
but you know,
I like just keep swimming. You guys haven't watched Nemo, probably, but
well,
that's what it is.
I got a hold of,
I was telling you, I mentioned it earlier that I just got the Fitbit last week, and you know, I'm challenging my friend Sherry, and we got all these challenges and stuff going on. But you know, it's not good for Fitbit. Really, is not good for someone with OCD, man. I mean,
no, because like, you got to pass what you did yesterday.
Yeah, and then it's like eventually you just fall over dead. So, but I mean, yeah. You know, well, but it was a nice gift from it. it was a nice gift from my mother.
Dottie got you a Fitbit.
Yeah,
she's love a lovely her. Woman.
Yes, she's doting on me.
Well,
and we
Dottie the doter.
Glad somebody is.
Yes,
and I just want to mention, and I know we have our squabbles on the air, and off the air we have our squabbles too. But I really do hope that this penis removal surgery you're having goes well.
Yeah, and you know because I'm not having. You mean Brandy?
Brandy.
Yeah, I'm gonna continue to keep mine if you don't mind.
No, you keep yours, but yeah. Brandy is.
Well,
I'm
donating it to you, so hopefully well, that's
to the needy.
That'll help you out. I am.
They I'll said, be swinging to you, Demi.
Well, I mean, you were on, you know, micropenis.com where we got your name. Yeah, and well. So I said, you know what? There's a man in need right there.
That's it's very nice of you, Brandy, to you know be an organ donor.
And he damn near has a vagina. I thought I'd help him out.
My parents always wanted me to be an organ donor, but they wanted me to do it while I was
living.
While
you were living?
Yeah. Well, so you're going to be having some type. We won't call it surgery. We'll call it a procedure.
A procedure. Okay. Yeah. Just having a procedure.
Yeah. That okay. will remove your penis, and they'll put it on the colonel.
Sure, if we're going to go with that. Sure.
Okay. And the colonel, apparently, you're not going to be out at all, so they must just, you know.
They're just going to
staple it on there.
They super glue it.
They super glue it. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. All right, let's get into the topic. Before we do, though, I'd like to give a shout out to our sponsors. We'll get into the Colonel's shout out later. Colonel shout outs later, but let me get a quick shout out to our sponsors.
Michelin.
From patreon.com. If you would like to contribute to the podcast, you can do so by visiting patreon.com/historydweebs.
And we have merch. I don't think that we have, like...
Yeah, we haven't pushed it. But if you go to our Facebook page, you can find merch. Get your t-shirts, your cups, your...
koozies. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Adult, marital aids. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff.
We got the History Dweebs dildo, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's outstanding.
Mm-hmm. It's a rubberized version of check.
Mm-hmm. Well, not quite. Because
maybe all right for anal probing.
Not his penis, just Chuck.
Oh, I see.
Just Chuck.
It's like a little statue.
Because
like
I am a man.
Like Oscar.
Soon my book on relationships will be out.
Oh, no, Dr. Phil.
We will
Phil,
be
it
putting
will
it
not.
On there.
No.
And try to teach some. Because so many people getting divorced.
Are you trying to say we have some dysfunctional folks on our page?
We got some fucked up people on that page, Timmy. I mean, yeah. Do you ever go to the page?
And you're going to help.
And I love everyone.
You're going to help.
I mean, there's some people I think I could give some
guidance
to. There's
not anybody you could give guidance to.
I love everyone on our page. They're so fun. They're really. That's the best part of doing this whole podcast. Well, so if you would like to join the merriment, please do so by checking us out on History Dweebs, the podcast group on Facebook. But I want to give a quick shout out to our contributors on Patreon, Alicia, Chip, Bridget, Cindy Lou, Andy Happ, and Jahara. Thank you very much.
Yay.
We really appreciate it. We cannot say thank you enough. And if you, like I said, if you want to contribute, go to patreon.com/historydweebs. And doesn't matter how much you give, even if it's a dollar.
Just a wee bit.
A wee bit. We
just a wee
really,
bit.
Really appreciate it. It helps cover the cost of this podcast. So let's get into Bob Crane. For those of you who are a little bit younger, you may not remember Bob Crane. Bob Crane was an actor, and he was on a hit TV series called Hogan's Heroes, and it was about... it was a comedy.
The really funny premise of...
Yeah, being in a concentration camp. Well, no, it was a prisoner of war camp.
POW camp
in Germany.
But it
was a very popular TV show. But he was on that show for 6 years. It ran 6 seasons. And he was the star. He played Colonel Robert E. Hogan.
Here's a funny thing about that show, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
Little known fact.
Of course it is.
While Colonel Klink, you know, he was definitely afraid of the SS.
Yeah,
they would mention the SS. Not once did they use the word Nazi.
Oh, really?
On that series. Yeah. Not one time did they use the
word
Nazi.
Yeah, it was
Nazi.
Kind of I mean, this was about 20 years after the war, so it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, it wasn't that long
after the war, yeah. So anyway, after the series ended, he took on some other acting roles. Yeah, he had. Yeah, we'll get into his interesting hobby
proclivities.
Yeah. On June 29th, 1978, Bob Crane was found bludgeoned to death in his Scottsdale, Arizona apartment, a murder that remains officially unsolved. So we're going to talk about there's a lot to go goes into this. But let's talk about his early life. Robert Edward Crane was born on July 13th, 1928, in Waterbury, Connecticut. He was the second child of Alfred Thomas and Rosemary Crane. His older brother, Alfred John, was born on May 14, 1926, so he was 2 years older than Bob. They were of Irish and Russian descent, Bob Crane was raised in a traditional Catholic household. Around 1930, when Bob was 2 years old, the family moved to Stamford, Connecticut, and would spend most of their lives there. They did live a couple years in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Poughkeepsie?
Yeah. We had a story on the Poughkeepsie Strangler, yeah. In the mid-1930s. But they lived in Stamford, Connecticut most of Crane's youth. When he was 11, he was inspired to play the drums by watching Gene Krupa at the 1939 World's Fair in Flushing, New York. Ever been to a World's Fair, Carl?
I have not been to a World's Fair, Timmy.
That seems like it would be kind of boring to me.
What are they going to come out with now? But once the internet came along, you don't really need anything else. Like last year, my wife Tana was spending the summer studying.
Now, aren't we supposed to be having moving sidewalks by now?
And jetpacks.
Yeah.
And so my wife's in Ireland, and she's like, she's going to Ireland because Tana was spending the summer studying.
Right.
And I said, you know, everything I want to see in Ireland, I can just look up on the internet.
Yeah. Why do I need it's to go almost to the same.
Yeah.
But you know what? I feel your pain in a way because the internet has made the world a small place. And traveling things were more exotic, but now. Now you go in line, everyone and their brother go.
Yeah,
the world is much more than it used to be. Anyway, Crane began playing drums in junior high. He was organizing a local band. He played in the local drum and bugle parades with his neighborhood friends. He excelled at music and drums while in school. He joined a marching band and a jazz band and an orchestra. So he was
a band geek.
He was. Many of his friends and classmates recalled he was never seen without his drumsticks. And he had a happy, sunny, happy, outgoing personality. And you can kind of see that in his TV roles. He seemed like a very likable guy, I thought. During his teen years, Crane took drumming lessons in New York City by notable big band jazz drummer William Randolph Cozy Cole.
Cozy Cole?
Yep. I don't know who that is. You know who it is?
I know who Cozy Cole is.
Of course he knows who it is. And I bet he has a story about him.
I do have a story about Cozy.
I wonder if he's related to Celine Cole.
Or Nat King.
Our listener.
Well, actually, he had this unique style of drumming, Timmy. And, mm-hmm. and he was the one that...
this is my fault. I'm sorry.
Neil Peart, the exceptional drummer from Rush,
mm-hmm.
is a direct descendant, not biologically, but from that line.
Okay.
He talked about...
Randy snoring.
Yeah, he talked about drumming as fluidity.
Okay.
And motion, and economy of motion. And
okay.
It's very interesting to read. I'm not a drummer myself. Logan is.
It's
my son.
Really boring to do tell.
No, I mean, you know, I'm never, every time we have these podcasts, I'm amazed with your knowledge, Colonel. You always have something to contribute.
Now, oh, my God.
Now, I'm not going to go check that out, so I'm going to go on your word. But you're probably making it up. But I believe
the notion, the theory of drumming as economy of movement.
Okay.
And how you can make the same, to make it simple, you can make the same drum stroke, a sound, with a 2-inch drum stroke as you can a 6-inch.
Okay.
And if you're going to be doing that,
I think a 6-inch stroke is better than a 2-inch stroke.
I think it is too.
It depends.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, but anyway, he aspired, Bob Crane had aspirations to play with a big band or with a studio orchestra. But by the time he graduated high school, that whole swing era had already passed. So Crane played in a couple of different orchestras in Connecticut, and he graduated high school in 1946. His first job out of high school was as a watch repairman and as a sales clerk at a jewelry emporium store in Stamford. I bet they don't have very many watch repairmen anymore, do they?
Actually, they do. Timmy, I just had a watch that I had broken, and I found a jeweler that could fix it for me.
Not too many people wear watches anymore, do they?
I love my watch.
You know, I have probably 25 watches myself. I tend to wear the same watch all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But there are jewelers who can repair watches.
Well, that's good to know. In 1948, Crane enlisted for 2 years in the Connecticut Army National Guard, and he was honorably discharged in 1950.
The Connecticut National Guard.
Yeah, well,
I bet they're bored. They're bored.
Well,
99%.
And snobby.
And a little bit highfalutin.
Yeah.
I would just say that he probably, just missed the Korean War, because it broke out in 1950, and he just got out of the Guard. In 1949...
He was a lucky bastard, because he graduated from high school in 1946.
Yeah, he got in that window missed the Second World War, served his country. Thank you for your service, Bob. And now he's out, honorably discharged in 1950. In 1949, Crane married his high school sweetheart, Anne Terrison. They had 3 children: Robert David, Deborah Ann, and Karen Leslie. So in March of 1950, Crane took his first job in radio at WLEA.
They're on the other side.
In Harnell, New York, where he was also named program director. Well, how? I did all right. That's one of those small stations where you did everything. And they probably made the same salary. All right, you're the program director.
Kind of like here.
You just get a title change but no money to go with it. After 9 months, he returned home to Connecticut, where he worked at WBIS in Bristol as part of their morning personality and program director for 3 months before moving to Bridgeport, where he took a job at WLIZ. So he's moving around in radio, starting to make a name for himself. In November 1951, WLIZ bought out WICC in Bridgeport and transitioned most of his on-air staff, including Crane, to WICC. He had a morning show at WICC, where he was also program director. He beat out Boston's biggest radio station, WEEI, in its morning ratings. To try to solve their problem, so basically they tried to hire him away to, beat the competition and get him on board, so the bigger radio station was coming after him from Boston. But at the same time, CBS, who owned WEEI, had a problem. They had their longtime morning man in Los Angeles had just resigned to be the host of a TV game show called, Colonel?
A TV game show called Jeopardy.
Called the $64,000
Question. Oh, the $64,000
Question.
I was hoping
it was Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. So, after Bob Crane refused their offer to move to Boston, they offered him a job to move to Los Angeles. So he kind of wanted to get out of New England. He wanted to do more with his music career. So he saw this as a good opportunity. So after some negotiations with CBS, Crane accepted a job at KNX, but he got a stipulation in his contract, which was really rare at the time, that he could play his own records.
Oh.
So he was cutting his own records, memories, and his love for music, which is something that had been rarely been done.
Seems like
before.
A conflict of interest to me.
It does, too.
It's because, you know, I have a couple
sort of
albums,
like that.
And I do. We haven't put them on the show yet.
No, not yet. We are waiting. To your dad, and then we will. He signed a 5-year contract with CBS to go to the radio station there in Los Angeles in August of 1956. Him and his wife and their son relocated to Hollywood. The Bob Crane Show debuted on CBS Radio on September 3rd, 1956. He spent more than 15 consecutive years in radio from March of 1950 to August of 1965 and changed radio for generations to follow. He brought a whole new dimension to broadcasting, including the art of sampling.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course,
he was the first rapper.
Yeah, kind of. He's just very popular today. He would cluster commercial songs, commentary.
I think we cluster.
Current events, entertainment, and music, and all in one seamless program. So he was gifted at voice impersonations. I think we talked about this before, how there's very few impersonators like there used to be, like Rich Little and guys like that. But Crane was one who did a lot of impersonations, and he did them on his show. He became known as the king of Los Angeles airwaves, a man of the thousand voices. So, you know, he was doing pretty well, making a name for himself in, you know, they're probably their second largest market.
I'll tell you who's a good impersonator.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Damon.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Who does he impersonate?
Oh, he does all kinds of people. Jack Nicholson. He does a great Matthew McConaughey.
Everybody can do Matthew McConaughey. Just get stoned.
Yeah, Ben Affleck, of course he does.
Course.
Jack Nicholson. But he does some very good impersonations.
Good, yeah. So in addition, Crane, to his show, he was, you know, he continued his drumming career. He would play on the show. And he became like the premier celebrity interviewer. So he was kind of the Barbara Waters of his time, interviewing celebrities. He was the number one rated morning program in Los Angeles, and he interviewed stars such as, get this, Colonel, this will impress you, Frank Sinatra,
ooh.
Marilyn Monroe,
ooh.
Johnny Carson,
mm.
and Bob Hope were all frequent guests on his show.
Now, that would be an impressive lineup.
Mm-hmm. But Crane had higher ambitions. He wanted to pursue acting opportunities. He got the acting bug when he was out there. And he talked Johnny Carson he subbed for Johnny Carson, I should say, on a TV show called Who Do You Trust? And acted on shows, one of my favorite shows, The Twilight Zone.
I love Rod Serling in The Twilight Zone, Timmy.
Rod Serling from?
The Twilight Zone, Timmy.
Yeah, where was he born?
He was born in Chillicothe, Ohio, Timmy.
Was he? I thought he was born in Cincinnati.
Was he?
Yeah, I think so. Google that, if you would. I know he lived in Cincinnati.
Write that down.
Alfred Hitchcock Presents. You remember that one, Colonel?
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah. So he started getting some acting gigs. And then Carl Reiner was a guest on his show, and he persuaded Carl Reiner to book him on the Dick Van Dyke Show in 1961. And as you know, Colonel, that was a big show.
That was a big show. You couldn't have the name Van Dyke anymore.
No.
It'd be offensive to people.
Or Dick. Yeah. But that, of course, you know, Dick Van Dyke was a popular comedian at the time, and his show was very popular. Also starred Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah.
I love her.
This was...
She did...
I don't think so. No, she's still alive.
Barbara Walters dead.
No, she's still alive. This is where he was... when he was on the Dick Van Dyke Show, he was spotted by Donna Reed, of course, the Donna Reed Show. What other movie did she play in? What movie did she play in?
Donna Reed, she was in Leave It to Beaver.
It's a Wonderful Life, and mm-hmm. she played in the Donna Reed Show. That's what I think you're thinking of. So he got a reoccurring role on the Donna Reed Show as her neighbor, Dr. David Kelsey. That show ran... from 1963 to 1965. But it was a very, very popular show. Donna Reed, as I mentioned, she played in...
He was from Marion, Ohio, Timmy.
Okay.
Rod Sterling.
But I do know Rod Sterling lived a long time in Cincinnati before going out to L.A. Bob Crane acted in small roles in dramatic films, and he had these, you know, roles on... He was on Peyton Place and Man Trap. In 1965, he was offered a starring role in the television comedy pilot about Allied prisoners in a German POW camp. And the name of the show was Hogan's Heroes.
How can you go wrong when you're doing a comedy about being a POW?
At least it wasn't a comedy about being in a concentration camp. That might have been I would have probably been a little bit... That's one step.
It's like the Diary of Anne Frank, the comedy.
Yeah.
The musical.
I've been to her house, by the way.
Really? Yeah. Panda's been to a house. When he was in Ireland, he flew over there.
Yeah. The character of the wisecracking Colonel Robert Hogan fit Crane like a glove. And the show, which had a rebellious spirit of Stalag 17 and The Great Escape, became a hit, finishing in the top 10 during the 1965 and 66 season. The basic concept of the show is that Hogan and his teams led the Nazis, the Germans, to believe that the camp was escape-proof, but then they kind of come and went as they wanted. They were there to spy, basically.
They had a little telegraph machine down underneath that. You lift up the board, they go down in the basement.
Mm.
Yeah. They had the little telegraph machine, radios.
They were POWs, but
they were all running the CIA outfit.
Yeah, kind of like a response.
Stalag 17.
Right. And, you know, it was funny. There was some controversy with the show at the beginning as to whether material were appropriate for a sitcom, some of the concerns that Brandy has expressed. But that soon passed as Hogan's Heroes went on for 6 seasons and Crane was nominated for an Emmy twice in 1966 and 1967. Now, during this time, Crane met a woman, Patricia Olsen, who played Hilda on Hogan's Heroes under the stage name Sigrid Valdis. So Crane divorced his wife of 20 years and married Patricia on the set of the show in 1970. They had a son, Scotty, the following year. So he leaves his wife of 20 years to marry this actress.
She's a very sexy woman.
Yeah, she was. After Hogan's Heroes was canceled in 1971, Crane continued to act, appearing in 2 Disney films, Superdad in 1974 and Gus in 1976. I don't remember Gus. And had numerous guest spots on TV shows like Policewoman, Ellery Queen, Quincy, and The Love Boat. I always wanted to appear on The Love Boat. Who didn't?
I always wanted to be on Fantasy Island. I always wanted to have tattoos.
Fantasy Island freaked me out.
Boss, the colonel.
You know, none of my fantasies involve midgets.
I don't know that that's true.
I have an inordinate number of fantasies that involve midgets.
I believe you somehow, Colonel. He had his own show, the Bob Crane Show. That's aptly named, don't you think?
Well, didn't take a brainchild to come up with it.
In 1975, but it was canceled after only 3 months. With his TV career slowing down, Crane turned to the stage and the dinner club circuit, performing in plays across the country. And the Colonel is going to tell you what happens next. We're getting to the part of the murder.
What's going to happen to this poor man, Brandy?
He's going to be murdered.
So, now, although always easygoing and well-liked, as our compadre over here, Timmy, Crane had a dark side.
You're a compadre.
What do you mean I have a dark side? I don't have
a
dark side.
Now, tell me if this sounds at all familiar to you, devil.
Talk to me, Colonel.
Well, most of his adult life...
You guys are friendly to each other, because it's never a good thing.
Most of his adult life, Crane engaged in consensual sex with countless adult women.
Well, okay.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Ringing a bell anyway?
Well, I mean, you got to be more specific.
Which, according to many sources close to Crane, had its roots in early 1950s Connecticut. Now, as time went on, his proclivities also included amateur pornography of women.
That does sound like Timmy.
In which they were willing participants.
Crane claimed to enjoy this lifestyle. Now, who wouldn't? But
so he liked making sex tapes, basically.
That was back when they had the 8mm film, I think.
Now, I've heard rumors, Randy, that there's a Colonel sex tape out there.
I hope that it is destroyed.
You know what? Me, Paris Hilton, and Kim Kardashian all got sex tapes rolling around.
Yeah, but not at the same time.
Not the same time.
Or with each other.
No. Actually,
and they actually had other people in their sex tapes.
Yeah, my sex tape is a one-man show.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah. You have like little cymbals on your knees. And you yeah.
An accordion on his back.
Yeah.
Okay, continue, Colonel.
Okay, so as time went by.
What worries me is that dancing monkey in the corner.
Yeah.
How do you think I get aroused? So even though he kept it hidden from many of his extended family members and closest friend, he loved this lifestyle. Yet with others, he was candidly open about it. He played drums at many of the local strip clubs
sure.
in Los Angeles long after he was successful and did not need the money.
Yeah, that's a weird hobby, playing drums. I guess he just liked playing the drums. But
no, he liked to be in the strip clubs.
Well, yeah. I mean, I understand that. I mean, who doesn't like a strip club? But it seems like, you know, by that point, he was pretty well-known and popular that, you know, you can't be doing it to meet women.
Well, he was warned about the dangers of such a lifestyle by his friends, as we have warned you, Timmy. And he listened, but then shrugged it off. Comparing, and you know, I'm just going to say one word.
All right.
One word, Timmy, to prove my point. And the devil, you know what I'm talking about when I say this. Inky.
Okay. First
well,
of all.
Well, she's different. I was thinking Dirty Diana.
Or Dirty Diana.
But first of all, they're both very nice young ladies. They had.
I think you're stretching the word lady quite far.
Yeah. They I think by the
were
lady.
A little damaged, but they're very nice.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
No, what I'm talking about is Inky, you had known Inky for 10, 15 minutes before you engaged in fornication
true.
And
that's
carnal
true.
Relations, Timmy.
That's not true. But, you know, we bonded quickly, yes. But it's not, I mean.
We call her Inky because she was covered with tattoos.
She had a few tattoos.
That's what she called herself, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it was her name.
I think coming up with your own nickname like that is.
That's crazy.
You think it's a dick move? Come up with your own nickname and
I do kind of
give yourself titles.
If you're going to come up with one, do better than Inky.
I do think it's a dick move to just give yourself titles and nicknames.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Inky's a very nice young lady.
Not a nice young lady. She left you an address to send her gifts.
Yeah.
Yeah, that never happened.
Inky's no lady.
Yeah, she was no lady.
Well,
but anyway,
it was like a Patreon thing. If you want to,
if you want to donate to the cause,
GoFundMe. Yeah. But somehow that never happened. But
well, so anyway, his friends came up and they tried to warn him. This is a terrible lifestyle. It's going to get you sent straight to hell. It's not a Christian lifestyle at all.
Don't be so hard on him. The guy was just, you know.
He said hard on.
He was just
sowing his oats.
I'm sure you sowed an oat or two.
I've sown an oat or two, but I wasn't filming the oat sowing, and I wasn't tying people up and hitting them with crops and whatnot.
No. Hey. That's a misnomer on this thing.
It's a misnomer.
He was not into BDSM. They put that in the movie. They made a movie about Bob Crane's life called Autofocus and about his darker side. But in the movie, they made it to appear that he was into like BDSM and stuff. And he really wasn't. He was just into regular, normal sex. Just
run-of-the-mill film sex.
Yeah.
He was an exhibitionist.
He just liked to see himself on the silver screen.
Did he have was he well endowed? I mean, would that be one reason why he did not mind?
Have they released any of these tapes?
Apparently, there was a website where you could actually buy some still photos anyway. I don't know if you could.
No.
But that's no longer the case. But we'll talk about that later. Brandy's going to talk about that.
Well, he listened to his friends, but then shrugged it off, saying, like an alcoholic, you know, I can stop anytime I want.
Yeah.
Now,
you can, really.
As his acting career took a downward turn in the 70s, his appetite for sex and pornography became profound, Timmy.
Well,
it became profound. It became
more accessible. I mean, he would have field day now with the internet.
Oh, with the internet, yeah. He'd be.
Do you remember the first porn site you ever visited, Colonel?
Hold on. I could give you Persian Kitty.
Me too. PersianKitty.com. Yeah.
They'd have the thumbnails and the little...
Yeah. When I first went to Persian Kitty, you could only... there was no video then, right?
It was only little GIFs and pictures.
Yeah, pictures, yeah. Mm-hmm. But they had, like, all the different categories and stuff. Yeah. Brandy, do you remember your first porn site you went to?
Not the first porn movie you starred in, but the first porn site you went to.
Let me tell you the first porn movie I ever saw in my life. On a VCR. A friend, we went to a Foreigners concert in Huntington.
Foreigners or Foreigner?
Foreigner.
Oh, this is where you got snowed out?
The show was canceled. Yeah. But we didn't know it. So we drive, we go to Huntington. It's about 45 minutes from my hometown. And the guy, one of the guys I'm with, I'm probably like 16 at the time. One of the guys I'm with lived in the neighborhood. And he worked at the atomic plant near Portsmouth. And he was aware, the guys that worked that plant was aware of a house of ill repute. So he says, "Oh, let's go check it out." Now, I was thinking, it's always just full shit. I didn't really think that it was a real whorehouse.
You didn't know what ill repute was, did you?
Yeah, I knew what ill repute was. But anyway, we go to there. They ask, they do like the old speakeasy. They open a little slot in the door and ask you where you
wiener,
know.
Wiener
checker.
No, there was no dick inspector there. But anyway, we went in, we sat down, and they had a TV on. And this guy's saying this. It looked just like a bar. Well, in a few minutes, here it comes. They play VCR, and it was Debbie Does Dallas.
Now, I'll tell you the first one I ever seen, Timmy.
It was an outstanding movie, by the way. If you haven't seen Debbie Does Dallas, I highly recommend it. Because she did. She did Dallas.
The entire town of Dallas.
She was in a little outfit, Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders.
That was Madeline Chambers, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
I think so.
But it wasn't the first porno I saw. It was the first VCR I saw. The first porno I saw was Deep Throat. That was a VHS.
The first one I ever saw on VHS, and this one just blew me away because, you're gradually introduced to these things, Jimmy.
Cinematic masterpiece.
So we went into, I was with a friend of mine, and we was going to a notorious marijuana dealer's house.
Mm-hmm. And, the Devil Weed.
The Devil Weed. And we purchased our said devil weed, and he invited us in, and we sampled our said devil weed, and it was very potent to me.
Did you inhale?
It was very potent. I did inhale. And he popped in a movie and said, "You have to see this." And it was Asian ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Ew, simmer down over there.
Yeah, I didn't mean to get you going. Timmy, this is no lie, this is the truth. There was a couple of men started to have some carnal relations with a girl. Mm-hmm. And then a man got up and relieved himself on the girl.
Oh, without asking?
And
that's impolite.
It's bad form.
I had never seen anything like that, and I was full of THC. And I thought I was actually hallucinating. Because I thought, certainly that man is not urinating on that woman.
But there he was.
Alas, urinating on that woman. And I thought, this does not seem erotic to me.
I tell you, dude, one time we had maybe 20.
So I was afraid to watch porn from then on. I thought
maybe about 20 years ago.
I thought maybe I've been doing things wrong.
You never know what your friends are into.
You don't.
And we went to a friend's house, and we had a... Stratomatic baseball draft. It's like a fantasy football baseball draft. And he had been buying these. Now, this is when the internet was really new. He had been buying these VHS videos on the internet. And it was all that of these guys pissing on women. And, one time you see it, it's like, oh, isn't that weird? And And then this guy drops a deuce in this woman's face.
Oh, for crying out loud.
And my friend, gross. This guy,
with a steamer is what you're saying.
I'm not saying he's my friend. It's some guy at his house. He starts jumping out like he scored a goal in the World Cup. I mean, he's like chasing,
pumping his
fist and jumping around. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So you never know a person until you see their porn collection. That's what my point is. But continue.
Yeah, I think the kind of porn you like says a lot about
it. It really does, yeah.
And I'm pretty much a middle of the road porn man myself.
How about you, Brandy? What kind of porn do you
enjoy? I do like the occasional midget. Because, I just wonder the anatomy of it. Where does it go? Where does everything go?
But they can be normal size down under.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. They're hitting them up they're hitting their girlfriend in the lungs or whatnot.
That is false advertising.
I believe it is.
Brandy, what kind of porn? Seriously, what kind of porn do you...
Seriously.
Or maybe you probably don't enjoy porn
anymore. Not anything I'm getting into.
No, I'm sure you don't enjoy it anymore, but what kind of porn...
I mean, back when you had your tingly parts.
Yeah, back when you were...
When your girly bits used to be functional.
Yeah, when you enjoyed sex. What kind of porn did you like to watch?
It was lesbian porn, just say it.
Did you like lesbian
porn? I really like furry porn.
Furry porn. It's like, what's
like
that?
Furries. You know what furries are, don't
like
you?
Like people dressed up in animals?
Yes, I love that.
So, like, you like a guy dressed up as a...
As...
Antelope?
Sure, a bear.
A bear? Wolf?
Sure.
A wolf would turn you on pretty good, I bet.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I believe she lied.
Colonel, what kind of porn do you enjoy?
As I said, I'm just a middle-of-the-road porn guy. I like, occasionally I'd like toss me in a midget there. Just to see, just alive. It's like a circus.
Yeah.
Really, it's like a circus.
I like to see a midget. Yeah. But I don't, But yeah, I'm not too picky.
Okay. All right. Continue, Colonel.
But I do not find it erotic to
you don't find
perform bodily functions on
no,
people.
I do
pooping
not.
Pooping on people is out.
I don't like pooping or peeing. I don't see
that's like hobo porn to me.
Well, hobo porn, there's some hot-looking hobos.
I wonder if they go over that at the hobo convention.
I bet they do. They have to get
there. They have open casting calls.
Yeah, well, they have to get their thrills. There's female hobos.
Well, they get their thrills by gang rape and other hobos.
They also get their thrills by finding a warm place to stay, so.
Yeah.
That's true, and a can of beans.
Yeah.
Beans are important.
I think we've gotten sidetracked.
Okay, back to Bob Crane and his...
In an effort to reestablish himself as a serious actor in Hollywood, and more important to him, to reconnect with his family and children, Crane tried several times to break free of this lifestyle.
However, why don't he just turn it off?
He discovered he could not do so on his own, which shook him to his very core, Timmy. Shook him to his foundation.
So you're
saying he needed therapy.
He was addicted to it.
His addiction was taking its toll on his marriage, and Bob and Patricia separated.
That's what it does. Because you know what happens, Brandy?
What?
Is that the guy who's watching porn, doing all this stuff... They don't have any energy when it comes to paying attention to the wife.
Uh-huh.
And the wife gets jealous. She's not getting it at home. So.
Well, and then, the women in porn, they're more engaged. I mean.
There's some high expectations there when you watch porn.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, they're unrealistic
you scream
expectations.
Daddy and
they really are.
Because,
they'll last, that some of those porn shots.
For everyone.
They may last 5-10 minutes.
Well,
yeah.
But I mean,
I know. Okay, yeah,
that's
I seen a 12-minute clip one time.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's unrealistic. Yeah.
I mean, for everyone, I think that real life is comparatively speaking is a letdown for everyone.
Well, I think real life just in general is a letdown.
Yeah, but when you compare it to porn,
because.
What I'm thinking is, who gets to eat that pizza that the boy brought afterwards?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be cold.
Yeah.
The copier never gets fixed.
Yeah, I know.
I got copies to make.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and it just...
Well, and that's one thing that bugs me. I do not like plot holes in porn.
No.
I do not. I like my porn wrapped up and tidied up.
And why do you need a 2-hour porn video? I mean, all you really need is like 6 minutes.
It's like the first 6 minutes of it, yeah.
Yeah.
But then you get to watch it 38 times and never have to see the same thing.
I guess.
But it's always remembering where you left off.
Yeah. Yeah, it throws you for a loop.
But anyway, in spring of 78, Crane sought professional help.
Wow.
He started to understand that he said, I might as well face it. I'm addicted to sex.
Remember what do that? You think about sex addiction? Do you think it's a real addiction?
Oh, it's an addiction. It's an addiction.
Brandy, what's your thoughts?
I think it is. Like anything else, it can be an addiction. However, I also think that it gets used a lot.
So you think it's just like obsessive compulsive behavior, just whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I think it gets misused a lot. I think, you know, David Duchovny has an affair on his wife, and all of a sudden, well, he's a sex addict,
right?
And he's going to go to rehab.
But really, he just needs
to keep it in his pants,
right?
Well, I think
I think Anthony Weiner might be.
He truly may be.
Yeah, because what's the definition as an addict?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
If you're doing something that has negative consequences in your life and you continue to do it despite that. So.
Well, that's insanity. That's just...
Well, I'm just saying, it's like drinking too much. You lose your job because you're drinking too much, you still can't stop, then you've got a problem. And yeah, clearly with Anthony Weiner, he continues to...
Anthony Weiner's wiener is too much.
Right.
There's just too much going on there.
I have... And I had a problem back in... About 15 years ago, I was addicted to grape Jolly Ranchers.
Mm-hmm.
And
sexually or
no, just eating them.
This is totally almost the same.
So I finally got off.
You're talking about the candy, just not Happy Ranchers.
No, just the grape specifically, Jolly Ranchers.
Okay, I see. you got me confused there.
But the problem you have to watch out for is that when you are free of an addiction. Mm-hmm. You replace one addiction with another.
Yeah, so then you went to cocaine.
No, then I became a sex addict.
It's a slippery slope.
I became a sex addict. Anyway, I was doing it 11, 12 times a day.
With your hand or another person?
Yeah, with your...
It was to Mrs. Colonel. I was married. And,
did she complain?
You were not doing it 11, 12 times a day with Renee.
Yeah, we was getting aircraft oil by the 55-gallon drum.
You'd have to have.
But you were not. So then I got done with that, and then I started smoking. Now I'm gambling, but you know.
Well, now you're podcasting, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
And now, you know
what?
You
made the transition.
Luckily, that is how I found Jesus and founded the church, Timmy.
And now you have a new purpose.
So my addiction is the Lord.
Yes. You're addicted to.
I'm addicted to the Lord. I'm addicted to His Word.
That's a good addiction to have, Colonel.
Yeah. So. Anyway,
continue with the Bob Crane.
He was reportedly about to begin work with a leading psychologist specializing in sex addiction after his play Begin His Luck closed in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Okay,
on July 1, he's getting ready to go see this shrink.
Okay, so he's in Arizona. He has a play. He's working in the theater.
Did this require a recap?
Well, he said it kind of fast. I'm just setting the scene.
Okay.
And he's getting ready to change his life.
But he never
they
got
They always the, are.
Getting back on his feet.
He never got the chance just to follow through because he was...
murdered.
Oh, just as he was going to turn it around.
Just as he was getting it turned around, that's what they said on the news.
Yeah.
So on Wednesday,
taking away his prime.
June 28th, after completing an evening performance...
I just want to point out, do you notice how I even tell you the day of the week when this shit happens?
It's
uncanny.
It's uncanny and unnecessary. yeah, I appreciate that, Timmy.
Thank you, girl.
After completing an evening performance and signing autographs for fans in the lobby at a Windmill Theater Dinner Theater, he returned briefly to Scottsdale, Arizona, with a longtime friend and video equipment sales clerk, John Carpenter. Not to be confused with John Carpenter, the movie guy.
Yeah, this guy.
Longtime friend and video equipment salesperson.
He was kind of a hanger-on. You know, you know how people get around stars. You know, Brandy, you stalk different people.
Justin Bieber.
She's a Bieber.
I am a believer, yes.
But you know how people kind of become hanger-ons and they kind of, want to be around celebrities. This guy was like that. He had video equipment, which, of course, met a need of Bob Crane's because he needed... I mean, this was in the 70s. Now you can take videos on your phone. Back then, it required to have the right equipment. But go ahead, Colonel. Let's talk about this John Carpenter guy.
So, anyway, he... let me see now. Carpenter, he shared Crane's interest in pornography and would often film Crane having sex with random women.
See, I would not want to do it in front of another guy.
I wouldn't mind if the other guy was a midget. Now, Carpenter, who had flown to Phoenix on June 25th to spend a few days with Crane in Arizona, the pair planned on meeting some women in Scottsdale. Before Carpenter and Crane headed out on the town, Patricia called Bob.
Bob Crane's wife, okay.
The estranged couple argued loudly over the phone. You've heard that. You've been in line at Target or whatnot.
Yeah,
couples are arguing loudly.
Yeah, it's unsettling.
So anyway, thereafter, Crane and Carpenter adjourned to a local bar where they had drinks with two women. Who was older, drunker, and a little skanky. About 2 a.m.
Yeah, if you were Bob Crane, you think he'd be getting some hot tail.
That's 2 a.m. in Scottsdale, Arizona. Well, ain't no hot tail
kind of
running around.
Good point.
So the four of them went to the Safari Coffee Shop on Scottsdale Road, and about a half hour later, John Carpenter left the pack for his return trip to Los Angeles. He was going back to Los Angeles the next morning.
To film Halloween.
Back at his hotel room.
This is a different John.
He called Crane one last time. Crane, again planning on ending his lifestyle of heavy partying and casual sex, was therefore tired of hangers-on like Carpenter. During his last phone call, Bob reportedly told Carpenter that their friendship was over, that he had poor hygiene, and that he wanted the $25 back that Carpenter had borrowed.
Okay, only one of those things you said was true, and that is that he told Carpenter that...
He could have told him a lot of things on that phone call.
But he told him that, okay, buddy, I'm done with you.
He said, I'm done with you.
Yeah, he broke up with him, his friend, basically.
Now, Crane's beginner's luck co-star, Victoria Perry.
Do you really have to tell someone? I mean, wouldn't you just, like, not return their calls or something?
Well, I think it's the responsible thing to do.
Oh, I don't. I think it's much better.
I know, but you do that with, like, your dates and stuff. You just disappear.
Yeah,
you just go missing.
Dirty Diana's still waiting for you to visit her in jail.
She's still waiting in her commissary.
Yeah, I was going to say, she's still waiting on that $5 a week you used to put in her commissary.
She is not
account.
In jail. It's...
You don't
blasphemous.
So anyway, now on
she's very cute though.
Crane's beginner's luck co-star Victoria
Barry. Dave said he would do her.
That's not saying anything.
Colonel said he would do her.
That is definitely not saying anything.
Yeah, I would. I got an addiction.
Now, hang on a minute. She was.
I got an addiction.
She was attractive young lady. Continue.
Okay, so now this is an important part here. Could I get through it?
Yes.
Crane's beginner's luck co-star Victoria Barry would knock on Bob Crane's door at the Winfield Place Apartments around 2 p.m. on June 29th. I don't know what day of the week that was because Timmy did not put that in there.
Well,
sorry.
The front door to his apartment, 132A, was closed. You've hit that motherfucker like 10 times. How many steps have you taken while you're sitting
there? I've got 17,000 steps in so far today, and it's only 2:53.
And the last time you hit it, you had the same number of steps because you ain't got up out of the chair.
Yeah, so what are you doing over there?
I need to take a walk. Continue.
So,
Jesus Christ.
So anyway, his door, she knocks on the door.
Come in.
But there was no come in.
She's knocking on the door. You're giving a feminine voice to Bob Crane.
I'm sorry, come in.
Yeah. No, you're supposed to say, Bob, are you in there? Bob, are you in there?
All right, let's try that, Brandy.
Open the door, Bob. Are you in there?
Okay. So she entered the apartment and found the entire apartment dark.
Mm.
As she entered the bedroom, she said, "At first I thought it was a girl with long dark hair because all the blood had turned real dark. I thought, oh, Bob's got a girl in here. Now where's Bob? I thought, well, he's done something to herself. She's done something to herself. Bob has gone to get help. At that time, I recognized blood. It was like a strange feeling. Not the smartest cookie in the world. Now, upon closer examination and realizing what exactly she was seeing, Barry thought, the whole wall was covered in blood, from one end to the other with blood. I just sort of stood there, and I was numb."
Yeah, there are crime scene photos out there if you're interested in Googling it. But he does kind of, his Bob Crane's body does kind of look like a woman with long hair because of the blood, it's the way it's streaming down his face. It's pretty gruesome sight. Continue, Colonel.
"He was balled up in a fetal position, laying on his side, and he had a cord around his neck, which was tied in a bow. Crane had been bludgeoned to death with a camera tripod as he slept in his apartment. He was 49 years old. The Scottsdale Police Department, like most its side, had no homicide division. And was ill-equipped to handle a high-profile murder investigation. There was no signs that a struggle had taken place, and an autopsy determined that Bob Crane was asleep when the deadly blow to the left side of his head was delivered."
That might be not a bad way to go, where you sleep, someone whacks you.
Well, that's how I figure I'm going to go. "The subsequent police investigation had determined that Crane's head was struck by two separate parts of a camera tripod. So he got hit by a dipod, inflicting two separate and deadly wounds. Paula Cassietti, the first Scottsdale police officer to arrive on the scene, immediately secured the area with crime scene tape."
Oh, they had like the little yellow tape?
Yeah.
Oh,
they still use it.
"At approximately 3 p.m., Scottsdale Police Lieutenant Ron Dean arrived at Crane's apartment door and took over the investigation. And I will hand it over to the devil to tell us about the investigation."
Shortest part of this whole thing, and it just took like 85 minutes to get through that for him.
Because Timmy had to tell us about his whole porn life story.
Well, the reason why, you know, Brandy usually covers the murders, but the Colonel, being a slacker, he wants the short part.
So. Well, you always give me like 15 pages and you interrupt me throughout. It gets me just a frazzly mess, Timmy.
A frazzly mess.
My blood pressure's all up.
You get the vapors?
I get the vapors. My blood pressure's high. I got to walk 2,584 steps every hour to try to keep it down.
So let me get this straight. I do all the research. Mm-hmm. I write the script. But because
of songs,
because you have to read an extra paragraph or two, you're all upset.
I'm just saying.
Because you're the talent.
He's a diva.
I'm just saying you
quote
ask.
I can't work this way.
You ask a lot of us, Timmy. You ask a lot. Right. And I understand, as the Colonel, he who is given much is expected much or something. What is that saying?
I'd like to say something. You're a fucktard. So
I think
we're going to go ahead and move on.
To who much is given,
much
is expected.
With great power is great responsibility.
Right.
I mean, we could do
heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Yes. Yes.
Brandy, what about the investigation of Bob Crane?
Why does the butt with my foot up their ass? Okay. Initially, investigators surmised that the killer was someone Crane knew. Seriously, I'm going to kill you in that Fitbit.
He killed him in his sleep.
Yeah, I'm going to kill you in that Fitbit.
And
perhaps
it's someone he knew.
Perhaps a person who left the apartment before the incident and later returned through the unlocked front door, or perhaps a window had been purposefully left unlocked or open.
Hmm.
The Maricopa County Medical Examiner's Office was able to put together a partial chronology. The timeline. There's a timeline.
Yeah.
Of events.
We could sign you up for some courses to help you with your pronunciation of words.
English is a second language.
Wait a minute. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll have little photos of lips and how
stay
you,
with me.
How you shake your lips to form words. It'll be very helpful for you.
You know, it'd be helpful for you. Look at a map sometime, and you'll discover there's no country of Wells.
Continue, please.
She had a lot of suicide there.
They got a lot of heels there, too.
Yeah. Tons of heels. Rolling. So, let's see. Okay. Oh, I got you a day here. Sometime during the early hours of Thursday.
June 29th. Because it was important.
Toward the end of the week.
While Crane was sleeping.
It's Friday Eve.
While Crane was sleeping on his right side.
That's important.
The murderer would strike a deadly blow to the left side of Crane's head with some type of heavy, blunt instrument.
Because the right side was covered up with a mattress.
Yeah, that would have been more difficult.
Yeah.
More challenging.
A second, much lighter blow would crush in Bob Crane's skull, likely killing him immediately. For some unknown reason, the perpetrator likely then tied an electrical cord tightly around the actor's neck. It's overkill. We got overkill.
Well, he wanted to make it look like he was someone strangled him.
But by the time, really, because the big blunt force trauma to the head doesn't, you know.
He was hoping that wouldn't show up on the autopsy.
Well, I would. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want it noted autopsy.
Autopsy.
Continue, please.
I'm just saying. Let's see. But by the time he did all this, Crane's dead. Before leaving, the killer apparently wiped blood off the murder weapon using bed sheets, and then pulled the sheet up over Crane's head. Money was found in Crane's wallet, which eliminated robbery as a motive.
See, that's a misnomer, too. Because if I was going to kill someone, I would take most of their money out, but leave like $13. And that way, they think it's not a robbery.
But I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Misleading.
Okay. Would you agree, Colonel? Is that how you would do it?
Typically in the past, what I have done is left. I figure half for me, half for the corpse.
Yeah,
Timmy.
That's fair.
And 10% for the church.
Well, they have to pay the guide on the River Styx.
Yeah,
I think that's cool.
What did you think about that band called Styx?
I like Styx.
All their songs sound the same to me. That's like Chicago. All their songs sound the same.
Sailing.
No, you're not allowed to sing.
All right, so
see, now you got me started. Setting over course of emergency. I got to be free.
I will stick this in your carotid. The investigation at the crime scene brought to light Bob Crane's kinky secret sex life.
That's ahead of me.
Which he continued to pursue while in Scottsdale, just as he had for several years earlier. He had a long-standing fetish of videotaping himself and his female sex partner, of which there were many over the years, and various stages of sexual acts. Rumors of this kind of activity, as well as other pinchons. Like playing drums at various titty bars in L.A., that purportedly cost Crane many TV and movie acting gigs. Apparently, producers were fearful of having their screen product associated with such a double life.
This was back in the day when, people were a little bit more conservative.
But we'll try. Oh, Lord, we'll
see what
try.
You did there?
You know, they're from Chicago. Isn't it interesting that Chicago is from Chicago and Styx is also from Chicago?
I am from Lebanon, so
yeah.
We got that covered. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
It's not at all, so...
I read Bruce Springsteen's autobiography.
God.
How was it?
It was excellent. I'd say it's, aside from the Bible, Timmy, it's probably the finest book ever
Approximately 50 pornographic tapes were found at the Winfield apartment, as well as professional photography equipment in the bathroom for developing and enlarging still shots. And they, so he's doing film and pictures.
Well, you know, he was promotional. There's some promotional stuff that goes on.
He was doing some
promotional stuff that goes on.
I'm just thinking.
Yeah, no, there's no. Yeah. A negative strip was found in the enlarger, revealing a woman in both clothed and nude poses. A hefty album of similar pornographic pictures was missing from the death scene. Several items that the police declined to identify were missing from Crane's little black bag. A small multi-zippered carrier, much like the Colonel's man purse.
Quick question.
Yeah, you do have a man. He does have a man's purse.
Quick question, Devil. When you and Dave, and into...
our husband, Dave.
Your husband, Dave, is a fine man.
Excellent man.
Are you going to besmirch his good name?
No, he's going to besmirch your good name.
No, not at all. I just am curious. When you do your marital relations...
Have sex, basically, is what he's saying.
Thank you.
Do you film it at all, ever?
Have you ever filmed yourself on...
Have you ever filmed yourself?
Oh, God, no.
Did you do it in college when you was doing your lesbian stuff?
Oh, come on.
No. It wasn't so easy because phones didn't film
back
then.
Did you watch Meet the Press yesterday?
I didn't have those.
I did not.
They were talking about, you know... Trump bringing up Clinton's infidelities.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck Todd, the moderator, says to Rudy Giuliani, they were interviewing him, and you know he's a Trump advocate, and they said, "Are you really the right messenger considering your history of infidelity or something?" And he says, "Well, everyone has that."
No.
Let me explain
which
that.
Which I thought was a fair...
Yeah.
That was a fair defense. Continue there.
Everybody does
it. Oh, everybody does.
Yeah.
They call your friends jump off a bridge.
But yeah. I'm not running for president. That was his defense. So.
Yeah. And so, hold on. It was okay that Trump did it because everybody does it. And it was okay for me to do it because
I think it was... They were talking... Trump had said something about, I don't get into a political discussion, but Trump had said something about Hillary probably cheated on Bill. And then Rudy said, yeah, well, you know, he was like supporting him in that statement. And Chuck Todd said, well, with your background, Mr. Mayor, is it appropriate for you to comment? Yeah. And he was like, well, no, everyone does that. I'm not running for president. So I thought it was kind of interesting. Everyone does that defense. Would that work for Dave?
No.
Okay. And now I'll tell you what, you don't want to get, you know, as you said, too political on the show. But I think that every listener could agree that we have on our show that there is... Giuliani has reached a level of douchebagdom that few could ever aspire to.
I mean, Chris Christie. I'm telling you, Chris Christie is like Dobby the house elf right now.
That's all
he is. He's Dobby the house elf. Yeah. Dobby's a good elf. Can Dobby have a sock?
Yeah.
I mean, what the...
But I mean, Giuliani's...
Yeah, he used to have some balls, didn't he?
Yeah, and then it just, all of a sudden, it just went away.
And I heard, you know, and not to make light of it, but I heard the best description I ever heard of Giuliani was Joe Biden, who said every word out of Giuliani's mouth is a noun, a verb, and 9/11.
Yeah.
I thought
he did great during 9/11.
I thought he was going to have a good career. I mean, I thought he had a shot at being president. But
it went to shit. Yeah. Okay, so anyway. So the police couldn't find Bob Crane's little black bag, like Chuck's man purse. Victoria Berry had seen it when she first discovered the body, but it later disappeared and was never accounted for. The primary suspect in the case of Bob Crane's death was, of course, Crane's longtime friend and sometimes business partner, John Carpenter. He and Crane were introduced by Richard Dawson.
Oh, Richard Dawson!
I love Richard Dawson.
He used to kiss people
co-star.
All the time.
Until he got the herpes.
Got the herpes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Crane and Dawson shared a common passion, women. But more often than not, yes.
Yeah,
more often than
Dawson
not,
was
Carpenter
dead.
Was left to fend for Thank Crane's you. Leftovers since, due to Crane's popularity and legendary charm, there were plenty of women to go around. In return, Carpenter provided Crane with plenty of state-of-the-art video toys.
Yeah, see, I don't even think that'd be an issue today because everyone has camera and videos.
If you've got an iPhone, you can get HD.
Right, but back in them days, you know, I mean, when the first VCR came out, that was like... amazing.
It was all
stuff.
Grainy. And
yeah. But I mean, it was amazing. Remember they had the beta?
Now, the beta show had a good picture on it.
Yeah.
No, you know, it had a good picture. We had those laser discs.
Oh, the laser discs were the bomb.
All right. So the night before Crane's murder, Carpenter...
Richard Dawson died in 2012.
I knew he was dead. He was 100 years old in the 70s when he was doing Family Feud.
Yeah, he was on Rogan's Heroes.
He died at age 79.
The night before Crane's murder, Carpenter was sitting with Victoria Barry at the Windmill Dinner Theater. She would join him during her set breaks. Barry claims that after the show ended, she witnessed Crane and Carpenter exiting the building together and proceed to Crane's car, where Crane would call out to her to not forget their appointment the next day. As Barry was writing her official statement to the police in Crane's kitchen around 3:15 p.m., the phone rang. Lieutenant Dean instructed her to answer the phone but not to mention anything about Bob Crane. It was John Carpenter calling from L.A. He's calling from inside the house. The police lieutenant took the phone from Barry, properly identified himself, and instructed Carpenter that the police were in Crane's apartment investigating an incident. During the phone call, Carpenter told Lieutenant Dean he'd been out with Crane the previous evening until around 1 o'clock in the morning. Carpenter would later change that time to 2:45. Then he went on to say that he had driven himself to the airport later that morning for his return flight to L.A. Carpenter would call Crane's apartment again about 3:30 p.m. Lieutenant Dean mentioned in his report that he found it odd that Carpenter never asked anything more about the incident and didn't ask him where Crane was. At the time, in 1978, the Scottsdale Police Department did not have a homicide investigation unit, so Lieutenant Dean's chief case officer, Dennis Borkenhagen... Sounds like the Swedish...
How can a police department not have a homicide?
I don't know, but that sounds like the Swedish chef, for real, from the Muppets. Bork, bork, bork.
I mean, I guess you don't have a lot of homicides, but seriously.
Well, yeah. It's 1978. But anyway, he began the death investigation himself at Crane's apartment, but later decided that no items of any value had been taken during the crime. He did observe some blood smears on the inside of the front door and entranceway, but decided that there was no forced entry. The sliding glass door that led from Crane's apartment to the swimming pool outside was discovered unlocked. Later that day, the police interviewed some of Crane's colleagues and friends, discovering that though Crane was personable, charming, and fun to be around, he'd made some enemies. There was also a fellow actor who had argued with Crane in Texas and later had sworn vengeance. Really?
Sworn vengeance?
That's old Western. That's old West shit. Inevitably and unsurprising, given Crane's reputation with the ladies, there were numerous angry husbands and boyfriends.
I never mess with a married woman or a woman's in a relationship.
Still, yeah. Carpenter remained the prime suspect.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Someone who had been interviewed claimed that Crane's relationship to Carpenter had begun to show some strain, though the actual evidence of any rift was not readily available. Any physical evidence that might have tied Carpenter to the crime scene was also scarce, as was the motive that would have compelled him to murder his best friend. But the possibility of a loan and one bit of compelling evidence, however slim, seemed to point to Carpenter. Rumors flourished that Carpenter had borrowed $15,000 from Crane, and Crane may have been demanding repayment.
Yeah, so he's breaking off the friendship and
I'm having a hard time understanding though. Now, nobody's talked to Crane, but how do they know what happened in that conversation with John Carpenter that he says, I don't want to be friends anymore?
I think Carpenter testified to that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he said that he told him that, I'm sorry, I can't live this lifestyle anymore. I'm going to try to work things out with my wife. So he goes back to L.A., which is a stupid thing because then you create a motive to tell the police. But that's my understanding anyway. I did the research where you guys did not. So that's have to go by my...
he withholds those little tidbits so that he can pierce
Act like he knows everything.
I know. Well. So,
Act like.
Perhaps even more compelling, the police discovered a small blood smear at the passenger side door of Carpenter's rental vehicle. Carpenter had complained about a problem with the electrical wiring with the car and had been sent out for repairs. Scottsdale detective Darwin Barry, God, what a horrible name. Inspected the vehicle and claims to have noticed a small amount of dried blood on the interior.
I bet they called him Dingleberry.
Probably, I doubt it.
When he was a kid. Dingleberry.
His named commanding,
after Charles Darwin.
Mm-hmm. His commanding officer, Dean, ordered the car towed to the DPI compound in Phoenix. The car was examined and photographed by criminologist Brute Bergstrom of the Arizona Department of Public Safety. Bergstrom's job was to find and process any blood or tissue evidence found in the car. And it was there that the investigation phase of the case began to fall apart even before it really got started.
Hmm.
The blood that was found in John Carpenter's car was eventually tested and determined to be type B. Coincidentally, the same blood type as Bob Crane. Carpenter's blood was a more common blood type A.
Yeah, this is before DNA testing.
Type B blood was only found in slightly more than 10% of the population. Through the presence of the same blood type in Carpenter's car was suspicious, blood type was not a good measure of positively identifying a victim. Remember, this was before DNA testing. Oh, see? So you gave that away before I got to say it.
I remember.
With no other significant material evidence, the Maricopa County attorney declined to file charges. In 1992, determining that tissue collected in Carpenter's rental car matched that found at the murder scene, investigators reopened the murder case. Additionally, investigators determined that Crane had been beaten with a second tripod that was not found at the murder scene, but was featured in many of the videos. The county attorney's office had determined that there was enough evidence to try Carpenter for the death of Bob Crane, so the case went to court in 1994. At the 1994 trial, Crane's son, Robert, testified that in the weeks before his father's death, Crane had repeatedly expressed a desire to sever his friendship with Carpenter. He said Carpenter had become a hanger-on and a nuisance to the point of being obnoxious. My dad expressed that he just didn't need Carpenter kind of hanging around him anymore, he said. He testified that Crane had called Carpenter the night before the murder and ended their relationship. Carpenter's attorney attacked the prosecution's case as circumstantial and inconclusive. They presented evidence, including witnesses from the restaurant where the two men had dined the evening prior to the murder, and that showed that Carpenter and Crane were still the best of friends. They noted that the murder weapon had never been identified or found. Prosecution's camera tripod theory was sheer speculation, they said, based solely on Carpenter's occupation. They disputed the claim that the newly discovered evidence photo showed brain tissue and presented many examples of sloppy work by police, such as the mishandling and misplacing of evidence, including the crucial tissue sample itself. They pointed out that Crane had been videotaped and photographed in compromising sexual positions with numerous women, implying that any one of them, fearing blackmail, might have been the killer. Other potential suspects proposed by the defense attorney included angry husbands and boyfriends of the seduced women and the actor who had sworn vengeance in Texas. Following a 2-month-long trial, Carpenter was acquitted and would die 4 years later, totally maintaining his innocence in the death of Bob Crane. Though the full truth of the unsolved murder will probably never be known, rumors abound that a boyfriend or a husband of one of Crane's female co-stars is the culprit. On the night of Crane's last performance, a flat tire caused by a tampered valve stem is suspected to have been intended to strand Crane alone in the club's dark parking lot. After the trial, Robert Crane Jr. speculated publicly that Crane's widow, Patricia Olson, might have had a role in instigating the crime. Nobody got a dime out of the murder, he said, except for one person, alluding to Crane's will, which excluded him, his siblings, and his mother, and left the entire estate to Olson.
Sounds like a sour grapes to me.
Right. Well, but still, follow the money.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, him, there's no evidence that she was involved in that. That's just him saying she benefited from his death, but that doesn't mean anything.
He repeated his suspicion in a 2014 book. Maricopa County District Attorney Rick Romley, who prosecuted the case, was not convinced and responded, "We never characterized Patty as a suspect." He added that he was convinced John Carpenter murdered Bob Crane. Officially, Crane's murder remains unsolved. Crane's life and murder were the subject of the 2002 film Autofocus, directed by Paul Schrader and starring Greg Kinnear as Crane. Love Greg Kinnear. The film, described as brilliant by Roger Ebert, portrays Crane as a happily married church-going man and popular Los Angeles disc jockey who succumbs to Hollywood's celebrity lifestyle after being a television star, meets Carpenter, learns the wonder of home video, and descends into a life of strip clubs, BDSM, and sexual addiction. Scotty, Crane's son with Olsen, challenged the film's accuracy in a October 2002 review. During the last 12 years of his life, he wrote, Crane went to church 3 times. When I was baptized, when his father died, and when he was buried.
That sounds like you, Colonel.
Crane was a sex addict long before he became a star, he said, and may have begun recording his sexual encounters as early as 1956.
Mm. Yeah, he had to have a Super 8 back then. I don't know what they used.
He was a sex addict before sex addicts were
cool. One of those crank cameras back then.
Yeah. Jeez. In June 2001, Scotty Crane launched the website bobcrane.com. It included a paid section featuring photographs and outtakes from his father's sex films and Crane's autopsy report that proved, he said, that the father did not have a penile implant, as stated by Autofocus.
Yeah, there was a lot of things in that movie that tended to be not accurate.
The site has since been renamed Bob Crane, the official website, and no longer includes a paywall or controversial material.
Robert, I mean, you will pay your, you know, have, I think there was like crime scene photos there too, yeah, of Bob, of his dad's.
Well, shit, he got left out of the will.
This is his son with his second wife.
So well, I don't know. He wasn't in the will.
Yeah. Well, his whatever
was, but
yeah. But my point is, that's a creepy way to make a buck off your dead dad. Yeah.
Why would you put up your dad's sex tapes?
Yeah. Exactly.
Ew. Bob Crane is buried at the Westwood Village Memorial Park Cemetery in Los Angeles.
Poor Bob
Crane. What I don't understand is they got the DNA samples. Why don't they just go back today and do a match?
I think they got the right person. And they just,
he's dead, so whatever.
Yeah.
I think Carpenter did it.
That would be my opinion, although it wasn't the opinion of the jury at the time, apparently. But
it had to be a man unless it was an angry lesbian.
Oh, Jesus.
Because a woman couldn't swing the tripod hard enough to crush his skull.
You never want to piss off, and there's nothing worse than an angry lesbian.
Unless it was a college softball player. Female college softball player, they could crush your skull with a tripod.
Brandy, your comments on that?
I could crush your skull with that microphone right now.
That's what I mean, see?
Yeah.
My point exactly.
When you had road games when you were a softball player, did you guys like share rooms and sleep in the same bed and
take bubble baths?
Yeah.
So what do you think about Bob Crane? Timmy, what do you think happened?
I think he was a good guy. I liked his, I didn't care too much for Hogan's Heroes, but he always seemed like a nice guy to me. I didn't, I don't begrudge the man a little hanky-panky. I mean, if he wants to, if that's his thing to be filmed. I'm camera shy myself, but you know the Colonel's known to love the camera.
I like the camera.
Camera doesn't like him very much, but he seems to like it. And I'm sure at some point he'll be doing Facebook Live where he is disrobing.
I think this is a cautionary tale, Timmy. And if we've learned anything from the Friday the 13th and Halloween movies, it's if you fuck, you die.
Yeah, really. Don't have sex, especially
if you're a teenager.
Yeah, and
somebody gonna hack you to pieces.
Yeah, they will. And be careful. Don't hitchhike. I think we've learned that.
Yeah,
Hitchhike.
But I think that's I think that's a lesson to be learned here.
And the other lesson is, if you're a female softball player,
mm-hmm,
You probably take bubble baths with your teammates when you're on the road.
Get done, have pillow fights.
Yeah.
But they probably take the bubble baths after the pillow fights because they're all sweaty from the pillow fights.
And then they give each other's pedicures. And,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm.
Did you get a lot of pedicures, Devil?
I currently get pedicures.
You know, Renee went for a massage the other night.
Feet are disgusting.
And she was telling me how great it was. Mm-hmm. And she said this woman was so good, I gave her a $20 tip.
Mm-hmm. Now, you think there was a happy ending there to me?
I think we discussed this before. And yes, I do think there was. Yeah, as long as she gave a tip, $20 she was tip, happy.
Yeah, I think that's a little sketchy myself.
You think you guys really need to get out more? I mean, really, you please do. Get out.
Well, I've never had a massage.
I mean, clearly, Timmy is running around like a bat out of hell all over the place.
I am getting my steps in so that I can live to make many, many more podcasts to make our listeners' life a little bit more pleasant.
Have you ever thought that somebody might murder you in the street?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I think that quite often.
And Brad, you know, we got this
knockout game.
People, this is going around the country. And I said this to a friend of mine that it started here in Hamilton County. This scary clown shit.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of clowns. I like clowns. I think they're friendly. They juggle.
You're a lying motherfucker. Clowns are fucking creepy as shit.
No, I'm not lying. I like clowns. That's an opinion. I can't lie about an opinion.
I'll tell you this. They're going around, they're jumping out, and they're trying to scare people. And they're attacking people now. Well, and I told my son, I said, there's two things in this world that ain't ever...
Fuck up a clown.
There's no context that is funny. And that is clowns and Holocaust jokes.
Well, I like a clown when
I will fuck up a clown.
I like clowns when they get out of the little car and there's like a lot
of... So...
Because... Last time Timmy went to a circus, it was 1925.
Yeah. But anyway, so I tell my son, I said, there are two things.
And they act like they're going to throw a bucket of water on you, and it's just confetti.
Two things that ain't funny. Clowns
get me
and
every damn time.
Joke. But you know what? I ain't going to shoot anybody that jumps out of the bushes and tell me a joke about the Nazis. But some clown come jumping out of the bushes. That's what I don't get. Do they not realize how many people are armed walking around? Because I will pop a clown right up, pop a cap in his ass.
That's what I'm saying. Have you ever seen, you've seen Kings of Comedy, right?
Yeah.
You ever seen this, and Cedric the Entertainer talking about somebody trying to sit in a seat, and I wish a motherfucking clown would.
Yeah.
I wish a motherfucker would.
I don't know why you have...
No, seriously.
There are a lot of clowns who are perfectly nice. They're entertainers.
There are. Real clowns are pissed.
They make children happy. I don't know why you guys are so anti-clown.
I'm anti-clown. Although I have to tell you, to me, Renee's making me go on this diet. And you know what's not allowed to me?
What?
Dairy. And you know what's not allowed in
cheese.
Dairy? I'm going to be part of the anti-cheese coalition with you.
Fist bump.
Yeah, I'm going to be part
you,
of
you, Brandy, are going to be the weirdo.
The lone holdout.
Yeah, the weirdo.
I, coming up very soon, am going to be skinnier than both you sons of bitches, and I'll still be eating cheese.
I love to eat cheese.
You're a cheese-eating bastard.
I will be a cheese-eating motherfucker. That's exactly what I'll be.
Brandy, where can people find us?
They can find us on the...
What are you just skipping over?
Okay, I'm sorry. We have to go to our segment called Colonel's Shoutouts.
The Colonel's Shoutouts.
Yes.
And let's start off with Colton. Colton Dietz.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Colton. Angelo's funny.
Larry Trujillo. I like Larry.
Larry's a good guy.
Larry looks like he might be a maid guy. I'm not going to say that out loud.
But you hear things.
Yeah, you hear things. Tara of Venezuela.
There's stuff. Yeah, there's things.
Monica D'Agostino. Tell me if I got that
Hi,
right, Monica.
Monica.
Tell me if I'm anywhere close to that. Of course, Jessica Williams. Teresa Slavin. Let's see. You know who we got? Just a lovely-looking Irish lass, Timmy.
Who?
Jenna Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Got the Irish name, the red hair.
The red hair, beautiful young
stop
lady.
Scottish.
Just seemed like just
guy.
A lovely Irish lass.
Stop. But she is a very
My Grandma Flanagan would love the young
yeah.
lady.
Beautiful young lady.
Yes, she
Please
would.
Stop.
So anyway, let's see who we got. Jennifer Siemens.
Jennifer,
Linda.
What's
Linda
up?
Martin.
And Linda, her mother.
Steve Fallbush. Now, you gave already one, but because the Dolphins took such a sodomizing,
that
I'm
going
to give one out
week.
To Jahara. Yeah, well, it was just last Thursday. And, of course, to the beautiful and lovely Tasha.
Tasha, what's up?
Amber Scoville. And a special happy birthday to Elise.
Our most beautiful listener in Arkansas.
In Arkansas,
yeah.
I would say she's at least going to be one of the most beautiful you put anywhere, but happy
yes.
birthday to her. What do you think, Elise, about 23, 24?
I think she's 28, and Elise, we're sorry we missed your birthday. It's a little late, a couple days late, but I hope you had a great birthday, and thank you for listening.
Of course, the Tiffinator, and I believe Bo ran for 3 touchdowns Friday night.
Did he really? Another great
190 yards, I believe. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, the Trowbridges, I'm just going to get you one and all and one shout out there.
You can't do a group shout out.
The Trowbridges, the Trowbridge family. It's a Trowbridge family shout out.
All right.
Patty Wooten.
Patty.
Angela Cobbs. Of course, Mike Birdsall and his lovely, lovely partner, Sydney.
Yes.
And Wonder.
And Wonder, the Wonder Dog.
Carlos Perez. And we'll give, you know what, we'll give her another one just to Kate McCarthy, because she gets excited. Now, Andy Volley put up on our page, maybe I'm getting his name wrong, what do I have to do to get a shout-out? Who do I have to kill? Now, I gave him a shout-out the last one. Maybe he hasn't caught up to him. Donna Curran. So Donna Curran. But anyway, Andy, there's your shout-out. Donna and her grandson, Chase, who is not going to grow up to be demented.
Yeah, she was concerned because we did the podcast on the Vampire of Sacramento, Richard T. Chase. Mm-hmm. And she was afraid that he would be associated with that name. And I'm sure he's going to be a fine lad and that he won't set fires, kill cats, or walk around wearing dresses.
Yeah. Of course, our Insight crew, Ali and Charlie.
Yes, they're going to do an episode on Vinay, Brandy's grandmother.
What?
Yeah.
No.
I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility.
Oh, no.
Why?
Brittany and Chris Catlett.
Be a great story.
There's not enough stuff.
And you know, Deborah, I've been getting your name wrong. It's Deborah Chappell.
Hey, Deborah.
So it is.
Sorry if we screwed up.
Our own college softball player, Angie Song.
Hey, Angie. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Of course, we got Bond.
Gene
Bond. Stephanie Quick.
Stephanie.
Sunstar, you need to let me know. Are those two little babies there twins on your profile page?
He's creeping pages again.
No, it's her profile picture.
Okay.
When she posts on her thing.
Sunstar.
And it looks like twins, and they're just beautiful little babies.
Trixie.
Jennifer Barnes, of course. Denny McNamara.
Mm-hmm.
We got a new one. Amanda Fenton Bocce Ball.
Hi, Amanda. We screwed up your name, I'm sure. But
Sure it's not Bocce Ball, but that's as close as I can get on that.
If you can correct us, we'll get it right next time, or try.
Paul...
Randy's taking classes on pronunciation.
Or am I? Because you just fucked up pronunciation.
And I messed up Paul's last name. Mampley?
Yeah, hi, Paul, over there in the UK.
Adrian Meredith. Emily Skidmore. Did I say Carlos already?
Yes, Carlos.
Okay.
Perez.
Of course, we got the legal team for the Colonel, Nicola.
Nicola Reed.
And my trusted associate, Jennifer Burdock.
Jennifer. Got Jeff Chestnut down there in Dominica.
Yeah.
They just had a big hurricane come through there.
The lovely Shannon.
Rossett. Yeah, Shannon, how are you?
And of course the wonderful and lovely Sarah Spaghetti.
Sarah?
And you know, we were talking about people who are crazy on the page, and you do a shout out for her.
We do not talk about how crazy people are.
No, we were just before.
We were talking about how people are active on the page. Yeah,
active on the page.
Say crazy.
Okay, but there's a couple people on there that could probably use some counseling.
60% rule. Is that what you're going to say?
And while I appreciate,
we love all of our
listeners.
Tommy Boomershine,
but Cindy Lou, don't you think she could probably use a little therapy?
No, Cindy Lou is she is one of our sponsors.
We love Cindy Lou.
She's very funny.
She's a pirate.
She's a pirate.
She got a peg leg.
She's a roller girl.
Oh, that's what I want to say. She's a roller girl. I bet she would just whip your ass, Timmy.
Well, yeah,
I bet
sure
she just
could.
Throw down on you. So that's what I got, Deborah. I got Deborah Chappell.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who we got.
Okay, if we left you out, we're sorry.
If we left you out, just yell at me on the page, and I will make sure I don't.
You have two other ones.
And, of course, I'm getting to them, Timmy.
Okay.
We got the lovely Lady Beverly, and Sully, and Alexandra, and Graham.
Kim Taylor. Melissa Moon Bateman.
Oh, yeah, Melissa Bateman.
Mm-hmm. Stacy Lynn.
Yes.
Okay.
And, of course, do I need to say a name to me?
Yeah, because, yeah.
Do I need to? Because everybody knows who I'm talking about. When I say this shout out, the reason we do the show, the reason Timmy's got a Fitbit, the reason Timmy's walking 30,000 steps a day and going to walk himself into an early grave, the lovely and all-knowing, all-seeing, and as sweet and kind as could be.
Okay, come on.
Dottie Scott.
Thank you, Colonel.
Okay. Yeah, hold on. I'm saying nice things about your mama, and you're trying to rush me. What's wrong with you?
We gotta roll. Brandy, where can people find us?
You can find us on Facebook.
Okay. We have two pages. The History Dweebs page, where we post. Sometimes we post History Dweebs, our history stuff, and then of course our group, the History Dweebs podcast page. It's a group you can join, and many of the people we've mentioned here are part of that group, and we would love to have you as a member of that group as well. So join us at History Dweebs, the podcast. Where else?
iTunes.
iTunes. Please leave us a review. We got three nice reviews recently. So I want to thank the folks who did that. A special thank you. We got one really, really nice review. We got three reviews, really nice reviews lately. But Angie K, who left us a nice review, thank you very much. And Ironfawn 401, another very nice review. Thank you very much. And then Caller for a Crazy from Dayton left us a nice review. So thank you all.
And that's really how you could really help us, is leaving reviews on iTunes, because it helps people find us.
Yes.
So.
Yes, thank you very much. And we're on Twitter at HistoryDweebs1. And you can find us on most podcast apps. Such as Stitcher. So we're going to get out of here. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.